So, Daf Chof Tes was a very rich daf. We did not even cover all of the topics on here. We could also spend time on Kedushas Kli Shareis that comes up, but we're trying to keep the pace moving. So the Chaburah today is going to focus on the focus of the Mar Makomos, which was the two really, really central Kachim Sugyas, which come out of the Tosfos here in Daf Chof Tes, and those are going through the topics of Ola Ola Rishona / Ola Hashlim, the requirement not to bring anything before the Tamash HaShachar, after the Tamash HaBein Arbayim, and the requirement not to bring at least a Shlamim before opening the doors of the Heichal. So the first part of the Chabur, we'll talk about the Tamid. The second part of the Chabur, we'll talk about the Sugya Psichas Delasos HaHeichal. So we begin the Tamid, so of course, before we get to the Tosfos and before we get to the Gemaras, so what do we have to begin with? Got to begin with the Pesukim. That's why they're on the top of Mar Makom Hashi. That's why we did the Pesukim. And Rav Lochan Sin Zatzal points out, we talked about this also last year, that there are two different Parshios about the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid is told to us twice. Remember, once in Parshas Tetzaveh, once in Parshas Pinchas, and he has a very, very central ha'ar about this, which we're going to see the themes that he develops emerge and re-emerge from the Rishonim that we've gone through. He points out...
It actually appears the third time.
Does it?
Parshas Tzav.
Well, the Tamid does not appear in Parshas Tzav. Does the Tamid itself appear in Parshas Tzav?
Ha'ola.
So we have the Medrash about Ha'ola. What is the Ha'ola? The one you already know about, I guess, and that's the one in Tetzav, right? But the actual mitzvah, the mitzvah to bring a Tamid appears in Tetzav and it appears in Pinchas. The reference in Tzav is connected to the reference in Tetzav. Why do we need to be told, why do we have to have two separate mitzvahs about bringing the Karban Tamid? So he points out that we can be mechalik between the two parshios in two different ways. And each way is going to shed a special light on the Karban Tamid. One way to think about this is that the Parsha in Pinchas, which we laned yesterday, although some of us missed the laning yesterday, but hopefully caught the laning the day before, is going through Avodah. Right, here are all the Karbanos that you are going to bring. Mashinkin, in Tetzaveh, the Torah there is telling us about building all of the kalim of the Mishkan. And so we get to the, we talk about the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach isn't effective without the Tamid. Now that's part of the din of the Mizbeach itself is that Tamid didn't have to be brought on it. You know, it's something interesting to think about, the fact that all of the kalim received their Kedusha through Chinuch. So the Karban Tamid is particularly linked with the Mizbeach. No Tamid, no Mizbeach. It's not just enough to have the physical dimensions of the Mizbeach. You also have to have Tamidin being brought on it. If that is the case, then the burning of the Tamid, the Haktaras HaTamid, should take on a special significance which we would want to see reflected in the Dinim. Because part of having Mizbeach is that it's having Tamidin burnt on it. Okay. The other way to think about this is not to look at the Mizbeach per se, but to look a little more generally at the Avodos, which we see there in the Parshios in Shemos. In Pinchas, so we know what we have there, we have the annual schedule of the Karbanos. You're going to have the Tamid, you're going to have the Musaf Rosh Chodesh, you're going to have the Musafin for the Chagim. Here is the regular schedule of Karbanos across the year, milvad from the Nidarim or Nidavos that people will want to bring. But what do you have in Shemos? You have the Tamidin, and you have the Lechem Hapanim, and you have the Hadlakas HaMenorah, and you have the Haktaras HaKetores. In other words, all of the daily Avoda appears in Shemos. The idea that the Mikdash is constantly at work, there is a daily consistent avoda in the Mikdash, and these have special significance, these avodos, because they're happening, at least because they're happening every single day, the daily rule. And if that's the case, then we would want the avoda. of the Talmid to take on special significance, not the Haktara. We're not focusing on the burning element. We're focusing on the fact that there are certain things that have to happen every single day. And does the fact that these are happening every day, does that give them added significance? So those are the two things that we want to look at as we go through the din over here. Do we see significance being drawn towards the Haktara Satamid because the Mizbeach and the Tamid are particularly linked? Or do we see significance being attached to the Avoda Satamid by virtue of the fact that it is something which is supposed to be done day after day? And what exactly would that mean? Okay. So we get to our Gemara, and our Gemara didn't mention Tamid. So why are we talking about this? We're talking about the sugya because our Gemara didn't mention the Tamid, even though it was supposed to. Our Gemara tells us that there's a psul laila for the mincha and for the oaf, for kmitza and for malika. Rashi here comments, and he says that kmitza and malika are linked to shechita. So just like there's a psul laila for shechita, so too there's a psul laila for malika and kmitza. This is a topic in and of its own that we're not really going to get into. What is the relationship between shechita and the other initial stages of karbanos? So kmitza for menachos, malika for birds. Rashi here seems to be linking them, but just, you know, one makar on the daf we should just be sensitive to. Our Tosfos breaks up that close relationship to at least some degree, because remember our Tosfos in one of its points when discussing Dlasos Seichel said maybe the din of the Psul Shechita Kodim Dlasos Seichel was only din in Shechita, not a din in Malika or Kemitza. So just a side har, we should be sensitive to that. But anyway, Tosfos says, wait, hold on a second. Why are we talking about a psul laila for malika and for a kmitza? We should have two other problems to discuss. Number one, we should have the problem because these are being done before the tamid shel shachar. Number two, they're being done before the opening of the dlasa sehichal. So let's talk about the tamid, and we'll save the dlasa sehichal for in hopefully about 25 minutes. Sartosos, we know, gives two answers to the local kasha. Why wasn't the din of Ha'ola Olu Rishona mentioned as the reason for the Malika and the Kmitza being possible? Why is there this seemingly superfluous din of a Psul Laila? So the first answer they gave was that, really, this is the mitzvah Ba'alma. It's not Ma'akiv, which then gets into a whole huge hornet's nest because that's a like a massive stira, right? We know the Gemara Menachos says black on white that it's a mitzvah ba'alma. The Gemara in Pesachim Ayin Gimel very clearly says that there's a psul. The Tosefta in Pesachim says that there's a psul. The Yerushalmi in Yuma seems to, although doesn't necessarily, think that it's just a mitzvah ba'alma. So that's one huge issue of which will get raised. And our Tosis here spends a lot of time dealing with the nuts and bolts of it. The first answer Tosis gives is it's mitzvah ba'alma. Once it's mitzvah ba'alma, there's nothing left to discuss. Of course, we needed the psul laila because ha'ola ola rishona is a din lachachila, not a din bidyat. Second answer Tosis gives is that ha'ola ola rishona is only a din in haktara. Now, by definition, if it's only a din in haktara, lechora, it can't be ma'akiv, right? So the second din is building on the first one. Any makoros which say that ha'ola ola rishona is ma'akiv are going to be a problem for both answers in Tosos, because if it's ma'akiv, presumably it's ma'akiv at the level of shechita and zrika, not at the level of haktar. What would that even mean? But we have that second answer, and that second answer obviously is, you know, first bullet point we have going back to the two Ha'aros and Lukansin made, that we see the special significance of the Haktara Satamid, the relationship between the Tamid and the Mizbeach, that this should be the first thing burnt in the morning. We care about, even though Haktara is not Ma'akiv and Karbanos, right? It's not a Karbanos din per se. The Mizbeach needs to have the Tamid burnt first. That's a special din. The Mizbeach needs the Tamid. It's burnt first. That ha'ara is coming out of the second answer of Tosos. Okay, so Tosos goes on as we want to continue to deepen our understanding of the sugya. So the two central questions which then continue to emerge, one is the question of ikuv, as we discussed. The other is the question of makar. What exactly is the makar for this din, that the tamid has to be the one that's brought first? So even quoting Ha'ola Ola Rishona, Gemara in Tamid Nishchat. But then there's also the Gemara in Zvachim, which quotes from Milvad Olas Aboker, Asher, the Olas HaTamid. We learn from there, Tadir Shana Tadir, Tadir Kodem. And the paradigmatic example of something which is Tadir is the Tamid Shal Shachar. So why exactly do we need to? So those are the two kashas that Tosos, you know, our Tosos is really the only Tosos that doesn't deal with the Milvad issue. As my, everyone else is dealing with Milvad at length. I mean, Menachos goes on and on and on about it. But those are the two kashas which help to break open this. So again, we'll see some of the answers that Tosos give to the Milvad issue are going to really help us understand the nature of the din of Ha'ola Rishona. The basic hakira, I think, to ask about the nature of Ha'ola Rishona, is there one din here or are there two dinim? Is there one din that the Tamid needs to be first and last? Or is there one din that the Tamid has to be brought first? And a totally separate din that the Tamid has to be brought last. The Rishon, who most clearly explicates the idea that there is one din, that the Tamid has to be brought first and the Tamid has to be brought last, was the Ramban. The Ramban in the Shikha Sa'as, and he says there's a mitzvah saseh to bring all of our karbanos between the Tmidin. That's very clear. He thinks that there's really one din, one mitzvah. We went through our Barley Tosos. Sometimes you got one indication, sometimes you got another indication, depending on what specific line you were in. But the Ramban here is very, very clear that it's one din. Now, even if it's one din, we can go on to ask a basic question about that din. This din that all karbanos have to be brought between the Tamidin. Is that a din in the Tamid, that the Tamid has to be first and last? Or is that a din in all other karbanos, that all other karbanos need to be brought between the Tamidin? What's going to be the nafkamina here? So we were discussing this in Seder, and then we were happy to see the Minchas Avram also made the same point. Although he thought that it was obvious what the Ramban thought. I'm not so sure it's obvious what the Ramban thought. The Gurus Ari and the Rashash over here, the Ritva as well, say we don't really understand why our Tosos was being kept up at night by the question of Ha'ola Ola Rishona rendering the Psul Laila superfluous. Because what's the answer? Ha'ola Ola Rishona is only relevant during the Zman of the Tamid, when the Tamid is operative, it needs to be first. So once it's the morning, and then it's interesting to ask, like, you know, what exactly begins the Zman of the Tamid? Like, if the doors weren't open yet and you couldn't bring the Tamid, would it be the Zman of the Tamid? I'm not sure. But they all say, if it's not the Zman of the Tamid, then there's no psul of Ha'ol Ola Rishona. Tosas has a line in Menachos where he says that. Tosas has a line in Menachos where he says that. The Ritva, after quoting Tosas at length, says, I don't know, they're wasting their time. I think the answer is that it's not relevant before the Zman. The Rashash says he wants to say this. The Gvur Sari wants to say this. It really makes a whole lot of sense. We could counter, though, and say, well, if we think that the din of Ha'ola Ola Rishona is not so much a din that the Tamid has to be first, but it's a din that all other karbanos must be brought between the Tamidin, then this answer of the Ritva and the Achronim and the Tosas and Menachos falls away, and we can understand why our Tosas and the other Tosasin were so hot and bothered. Right? It's not a din in the other. It's not a din in the Tamid per se. Karbanos must be brought between the Tamidin. So by definition, what do I care if it's 8 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning? It's not being if the Tamid hasn't been brought. If it's not between the Tamidin, you have a problem over here. Now, what the Ramban himself thinks, you know, it's a little bit hard to tell. Because on the one hand, in the Ramban, he seems to stress the Tamidin, right? Like the Tamid needs to be first, and the Tamid needs to be last. But, you know, he also mentions the other Karbanos. I'm not so sure. One way to understand why we have this din, this is definitely that, you know, here when Rosenzweig gave us the Chabur and the Minchas Chavisin, so he talked about this, the idea of bracketing. By having the Tamid first thing in the morning and the last thing in the afternoon, So it's ki'ilu, we have avoda happening in the mikdash all day long. We go back to the idea that the tamid is all about tmidius. You have the ketores in the morning at night, you have the menorah, you know, what exactly is happening in the menorah, you have the lechem apanim consistently on the shulchan. So as long as there's a zman avoda, the fact that you have a tamid in the morning and the tamid in the afternoon, it's like the whole day is a day of the tamid. Once you have other karbanos being brought before or after the tamid, well, once you've undermined that unique status of the tamid, it just becomes a regular karban. It no longer represents this idea of constant, consistent Beis HaMikdash activity. It just becomes another regular karban that happens to be brought every single day, but it doesn't color the nature of the avodas hayom the same way it does if it's specifically brought as the first karban and as the last karban. The question to ask, I'm not so sure about this, is would bringing karbanos at night undermine that nature of the tamid in the same way? When we say the whole Seder Hayom is defined by having the tamid in the morning and the tamid at night. Well, what if I bring a karban that's not in the Seder Hayom at all? It's being brought not bizman atamid. It's being brought at night when no karbanos are being brought. Does that undermine the tamid per se, or not? I'm not sure. So I don't think the Milchas Avraham was like very confident. He says, you know, there's no question for the Ramban this view of the Ritva and the Rashash and Gevurah Sari, it doesn't get off the ground. I don't know if that's 100% mukrach, though, because in theory one could say there is one din that the Talmud comes first and the Talmud comes last, but if it's about undermining the special status of the Tmidin, maybe the din is only relevant during the Zman of the Tmidin. Put that out there as a bit of an open question, but either way, there's no question that this whole view of the Ramban seems to underline the special nature of the Avoda of the Talmud, that it has to be first and it has to be last. Okay, so we said the Ramban represents like the view in the Rishonim that thinks that there is one din of the Talmud being first and last. Probably the Rishon who best represents the polar opposite view is the view of Rav Chaim Cohen, who was he quoted by name? Honestly, all the Tosfos kind of mushed together. I'm pretty sure he was quoted in Menachos, he was quoted at length. I thought he was quoted at some point in Aratosos. I believe that he was quoted at some point in Aratosos, but he was quoted much more at length and much more explicitly, for sure, in the Tosfos of Menachos. Either way, it doesn't really matter. We could confirm afterwards. Rav Chaim Cohen, so he's one of the Rishonim who's trying to figure out why we have two different Makoros. Why do we have one makar of ha'ola ola rishona and one makar of milvad ola saboker asher ola satamir? Rav Chaim Cohen goes in a radical direction where he thinks that both of these are a din klali. Neither one of them has really anything to do with the tamid per se. Milvad ola saboker asher ola satamir tells us the general universal din of tadir shino tadir kodin. Okay, so what is left for ha'ola ola rishona to cover? Says Rav Chaim Cohen, there's another karban that's brought every single day, and that is the Milchas Chavisin is brought every single day. Okay, so I need Ha'ola Ola Rishona to tell me that the Tamid even beats the Milchas Chavisin. But why does it beat the Milchas Chavisin? One could have said, here's the special din of Tamid. The Tamid has to come first and even beat the other karbanos which are brought every single day. Says Rav Chaim Cohen, no, it's not a special din in Tamid at all. There is a second general din which is learned here. If you have a zevach going up against a mincha, the zevach is going to win. General din, zvachim beat menachos. That is being learned from ha'ola ola rishona. So we have two general dinim from the tamid in the morning. One, tadeh v'shena tadeh tadeh kodem. Two, zvachim beat menachos. If that's the case, then the dinim of the Tamid being brought first in the morning have absolutely nothing to do with the din of the Tamid being brought last in the afternoon. Right? The din of Aleh Hashlim. Even though Tosas elsewhere said these are learned from the same pasuk, of course they're connected, Chaim Cohen is saying no. They are two completely different dinim that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. There's a din of the Tamid that has to be has to close the bell. And then there are general dinim which happen to dictate to us that the Tamid Shal Shachar comes first. Right? So he sees nothing special about the din of the Tamid and Tamid Shal Shachar. And by definition, it has nothing to do with the din of the Tamid Shal Bein Harabayim, the total opposite of the Ramban, who saw them as one din. We also saw Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who also proposed that these are two completely different dinim. Rav Moshe is dealing with the question of Ikuv, which drove our Tosos nuts, because, you know, Tosos Yishanim here was hilarious, right? Tosos Yishanim, so it gave the answer, why do I need a Psul Laila? What about Ha'olol Rishona? And Tosos Yishanim said, no problem. You look at Menachos, Mem Tes Mem Beis, Abaya says explicitly, it's a mitzvah ba'alma. Have a good night, Laila Tov. End of discussion, Tosos Yishanim. You know, then you get to Artosis, and Artosis is like, wow, Menachos Mem Tes tells us that there's a mitzvah ba'alma, but Psach Mayan Gimel said there's a psul, and the Tosefta said there's a psul. So then Artosis spends the whole rest of the iceberg trying to deal with the Ikuv. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wants to just slice the whole thing, and he says, I understand, the answer is really obvious. What was the Gemara Menachos talking about? The Talmud Shal Shachar. Talmud Shal Shachar, that's a din klali, and therefore it's a mitzvah ba'alma. What was the Psach Mayan Gimel talking about? It was talking about the Talmud Shel Bein Arabayim. That was the case where you had, something that was supposed to be a Karban Pesach, and then the Bailim bailed, and it's being offered Pesach in the afternoon of Yudal Ben Nisan after the Talmud Shel Bein Arabayim. So the Talmud Shel Bein Arabayim, that's Likuva. The Talmud Shel Shachar, mitzvah ba'alma. That's the simple way to read the Gemara. So Kainam HaDvarim, we're dealing with, once again, two different dinim. So we have these two different ways of looking at the relationship between the Tamidim. Okay. The other ha'ara that I really just wanted to extract when it comes to the nature of the Tamid and the nature of the din of Ha'ola Ola Rishona comes from another ha'ara of the Mishnah L'Malach. Right? It was a long, long Mishnah L'Malach. Most of it, it's Kedai. I mean, if you have any, the problem with the Mishnah L'Malach is that you won't get anything out of it unless you plowed through all the Tosin really carefully. But once you've plowed through all the Tosin really carefully, who has the energy to plow through a massive Mishnah L'Malach, right? But I have underlined, so I guess when I was younger, I had the energy to do that. So he goes through all the Tosin carefully, and just one ha'ara to bring to the fore he makes, going back to Luchenstein's original points. So various and sundry Tosafot had different answers to the question of Milvad and Ha'ola Ola Rishona. Each one of them has their difficulties that the Mishnah Malach really goes through. But two of the other answers, besides Rav Chaim Cohen, that the Tosafot had, so one was that Milvad is a din in the dam, because what was the pasuk? Milvad olas haboker asher olas hatamid tasu es eila and tasu asiya. That's the dam. And then there was ha'ola ol rishona. Let's go back to Tosas' original answer over here. Pashas and Pesukim that was talking about haktara. Okay, so if that's the case, you go with that answer. So then it's interesting, what is the scope of these two dinim? Are there going to be cases where you only have one, where you only have the other? But two dinim in Ha'ola Ola Rishona, one that the Tamid has to be burnt first, and one that the Tamid has to be offered first. The fact there's a special din has to be burnt first, once again, underlines Lugatin's point about the special relationship between the Tamid and the Mizbeach. But that goes even farther from his Ha'ara on the answer which said from coming out of, he said, Artosis in Yuma. Not from what Artosis and Yuma says, but when you combine the answer with what Artosis and Yuma says. One of the answers that Artosis had in Menachos and elsewhere was that I need one pasuk for Musafin, and I need another one for Nidarim Unidavos. Musafin because which carbon sibur should Musafin because those are less tadir, those are less frequent. And Adarim Nidavos, so this is an interesting claim. We talked about this last year. We had Mar Makomos on this, but the Nedarim Nedavos, they're brought more frequently than the Tamid, right? So this we saw was a machlokes. If you have something which happens to happen more often, but it's not formally scheduled more often, does that make a tadi or not? So Tosfos there assumed that the fact that it happens to happen more frequently makes it more tadir. So despite the fact that Nedarim Nedavos are brought more frequently than the Tamid, nonetheless, I learned from Ha'ola, Ol Rishona, that the Tamid is still brought first. Special din in Tamid, right? That's a special din, not like Rechaim Kohen Adin Klali, special din in Tamid, that even when it's less tadir, it's still going to be brought first. Along comes the Mishnah L'Malach, and he says, hold on a second, flag on the play. What exactly is this din prati of Ha'ola Ol Rishona that it beats Nedarim Unedavos? Is this a din in Haktara? Is it a din in Siyas Adam? Says, you know, if I don't think that I have one pasuk for Dam and one pasuk for Haktara, I have no universal makar that all a Siyas Adam has to come first. Bishlama, if I have a case of Tadir, the case of the Musafin and Pinchas, so I should sprinkle the Dam of the Tamid before anything else because that's more often. But says the Mishal Melech, you take the view of our Tosfos and Yuma, which really assumed as a core answer, right? They kept coming back to this, that Ha'ola Ol Rishona has nothing to do with Dam. It is only a din in Haktara. Then we're going to say Lamaskana that for Karbanos, which don't have the Tadir factor, even Lechad Chila, you can do the Asiyas Hadam of Nedarim Unedavos before you do the Asiyas Hadam of the Tamid. He says he thinks that's the maskana lehalacha according to our Tosfos and Yuma, when you plug it all together. So then we're radically going in the direction of saying that the din of Ha'ola Ol Rishona is mamish, a din in Haktara Bilvad. It is only a din in burning. The Haktara of the Karban Tamid is its central component, is its central motif, and there is no issue of Asiyas Hadam v'chlal. That is the har of the Mishnah Melech from our Tosos. Okay. There was some interesting discussion. You know, this is less, just to close it out, less of a point on the Tamid per se, but there was an interesting discussion in the Rishonim on the question of Ikuv, which just opens up some interesting points. So one point which is interesting, for example, is our Tosos wanted to say, was really convinced that there's no Ikuv. Right, our Tosos was like hardline convinced that there is no Ikuv, even when the Tosefta talks about a psul, that psul was a psul basar. I'm trying to remember this right now. Who explicated this? I think the Tosos of Rush. My notes. Someone talked about this. The question of if there's a psul derabanan. Yeah. So what emerges from our Tosfos is that if there was a psul derabanan, let's say there was a gzeira, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do anything before the Tamid because you might come to burn things before the Tamid. And as I said, that's the real problem. Do Chazal have the ability to pasul your karma? From our Tosfos, it seemed like the answer was no. The most that a psul derabanan and kachim could do would be to tell you that l'chachil, you shouldn't do it. But b'dieved, it's going to work. It seemed, I think, from the Ritva, though, that there was a real psul. It seemed like he was willing to say that, no, Chazal can pasul your karban, and that's why the Tosefta said it's pasul. Our Tosefta said, the Tosefta, when it says there's a psul, it must really mean there's a psul basar. And you're like, that kind of sounds like a disaster. But Tosefta says, don't bother me. I'll give you a Gemara in Zvachim, which has this exact case when you sprinkle the dam on the kevesh. So that's not keneged hayesod. You weren't supposed to do that. So the Gemara there said they had a psul, but the Gemara said, that really means it's a psul basar, but there's kapara. So Tosan Yuma says, don't bother me. Just like the psul in Zvachim really meant the psul basar, even though it didn't seem like it. So too here, the Tosefta, it's a psul basar, but lo, there's kapara. The Ritva, they said, no. Is a psul midrabanan, and psul midrabanan means a psul midrabanan. So that's just an interesting question, b'ofen klali, that we can wonder about. The Ritva himself, and Chachmei Sfarad, elsewhere take the same line. They go against Tosfos, and they say, no, really, there could be. They have the Ritva quotes it from Tosfos, but I don't think we have it anywhere from Tosfos themselves. Maybe there is a real psul. Maybe this actually is ma'akiv, but it's not ma'akiv on the shechita. It's only ma'akiv on the zrika, right? So this is, you know, like the opposite. Our Tosfos was talking about haktara, 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 and maybe even only haktara. We should be aware that there are other Rishonim out there who are saying, no, Ha'ola Rishona is a din in Avoda, and in a Hanami on a Daraisa level, the Shechita is not going to be Ma'akiv, but if you Zorek the Dam before the Dam of the Tamid, it might be Ma'akiv even Li'ikuva. So we have different, you know, we have a range of Rishonim on all of these issues, but as we close the book on the Tamid for now, so we come out seeing a number of Rishonim who are highlighting the role of Haktara. And going back to the question of the Ramban and the question of the bracketing and the question of what is the status of these karbanos at night, the idea that that there's particular significance to the avoda of the tamid as well being the first thing in the morning and the last thing in the afternoon. In other words, I'm saying no, there are two completely different dinim. Okay, ad kan tamid. Any pressing remarks? No, good. So let's go on, and Iris Hashem, we will finish even with time to spare. The other major issue we have here on the Tosfos, we know, is the topic of the Delasos HaHeichal. Because our Tosfos asks, well, we know that the Gemara tells us in a number of places, Mirat Hashem, we'll get to this, because we definitely need to get to the sixth parak this year, because all the action of the Shnei Seirim is in the sixth parak, so we'll hopefully make sure that we reach there. But we know, the Gemara says in a number of places, that the Shlamim that's slaughtered before the opening of the doors, the Heichal, is possible. So our Tosfos assumes that is ma'akiv, and therefore Tosfos is bothered. Why is this happening? Why do we need a psul laila? What about a psul of delasos ha'hecha? The Tos Yishanim asked this question, and Tos Yishanim gave two answers. One was the Okimta crew. No, they had opened the doors and then they closed them again. Okay, it's the kind of answer my dad likes to say. It's a punt. The other answer the Tos Yishanim gave was, who says it's only a din in the? Who says it's a din in all karbanos? Maybe it's only a din in the shlamim. After all, the Gemara consistently says that shlamim that were slaughtered before psichas la'asa heichal are possible. So was it only the shlamim, or was shlamim just the origin of this? Because the makar is from the shechita of the shlamim. There has to be lifnei pesach ha'amoi. So the Shlamim says maybe it's a din in the shlamim uvan mela. All other karbanos, and for our sugya, malika and kamitza are going to be vulnerable, right? We saw Artos's answer, which was that delasa heichal is only din in shechita, not a din in malika and haktara. But Tos Hashem says it's only din in shlamim. The Ritva says, I think it's the best answer. I like this answer. Says the Ritva, and we've noted that Rashi and the Rambam agree to this as well. Rashi says that, at least I only put the one in Zvachim, then I saw Rav Kasha this morning, who quotes Rashi in a couple of other places as well, and also the Mefarish in Nazir, but I did not look at that yet, but I have to look at that, on Daf Mem Hei, I think he quoted from. And the Rambam, both in Perek Hei, Halacha Hei, and in Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Yud Beis, of Maisar Kabanos, only talks about a psul in the world of Shlamim. So we want to ask, what is the nature of this psul? So that conversation is going to be significantly impacted by the scope of the psul. That's going to be a different conversation if it's only a din in the shlamim, like all of these Rishonim say, versus if it's a din in all karbanos, like the Balei Tosfos here and elsewhere want to say. So what can we say about the nature of the psul of Shechita Kodem, Psichas, Delaso, Sahecha? So the, you know, Now let's talk about if it's reserved to shlamim in particular, and then we'll talk about if it's in general. The Ritva just endorsed the view that it's only in shlamim.
Oh.
Yeah. So Mela, there's no question about shechita and malika balayla needing to have a special psul layla. That's because plus eichal was nothing to do with Menachos and Ophos, just like it has nothing to do with Olos and Hashamim and Chataos. It's only done in Shlamim. Okay, So why would it be only din and shlamim? Yeah, that's the best way to tackle this, because that's an obvious question. And once we can explain why it's only a din in shlamim, maybe we can understand why this din exists bechlal. So there are two answers that I'm aware of, why it's only a din in shlamim. And both of them explain why what this din is doing. There's the less exciting one and the more exciting one. So the Netziv and the Mashiach Chachma give the less exciting answer. So Rav Kasher quoted both of these as well. So did Rav Dani Wolf in his article on the topic. And they say that you need it more for the Shlamim. Why? Kadshei Kadashim have to be shechted b'tzafon. They have to be shechted in the northern half of the Yazar. So they say, when it comes to Kadshei Kalim, it's okay, they don't need to be shechted in the tzafon. They can be shechted b'chol ha'azar. But you need to do something to indicate that that this is shechitas kachim, that this isn't just a shechita ba'alma. Could have quoted this in the shiur yesterday, if we had time. So for kachim kalim, where there's no special din of tzafon, you compensate with at least opening the doors of the mikdash. Now, those doors will normally be opened anyway, because you have to walk inside to do all the avod in the morning, but we're going to make sure at least that you have the doors of the Heichal open. That's the suggestion of the Mashiach Chachma and the Netziv. You can kind of wonder, because so what, the din that Kachek Halim Kabi Shach B'chol Azara ends up at least in some regards becoming a Chumra maybe Lide Kula, or a Kula maybe Lide Chumra. So they'll say, yeah, Nachanami, but okay, fine, that's one possibility. The other possibility, though, which is what you really want to say, and at least Rabbeinu Eliakim, single-handedly, one Rabbeinu Eliakim justifies all the expense to purchase it over the summer, right? So he says, no, it's a din in the Shlamim. Why? Because the Shlamim is a Doron, and when you bring a Doron, you don't bring a Doron to Rabbeinu Shalom with the door closed. The door has to be open for the Karban Shlamim. So Rav Dani didn't like this at all, because he said, I mean, I know which Karban Shas calls a Doron. The quintessential daron is an ola. So he said, if it's the gift is an ola, so okay, so you know, it's a fair point. You could have said any neder adava should have the doors open. But what Rabbi Eliakim is really trying to say,
the genre of this korban is 99% of the shlomo shavuos is a gift. Ola, half the olas are tamid and misafim. So it's not.
Well, not just that. There's also a kapara element.
Yeah, exactly.
Shlomim is ba lasa shalom. You make shalom with somebody with the door closed?
Exactly. That's the point, right? I think that's the point. The shlomim is...
You don't make friends with the door closed.
It's purely the...
COVID. Yes.
What?
Even during COVID, you gotta open the door.
You gotta... Yeah, or at least the window, if you're wearing a mask. Right? What are you saying? It's in the lashon of Rabbeinu Eliakim, it's a fair taina. Because he just says you don't bring a doron with the door closed. Now an ola does happen to be a daron. What he means exactly, it's clear what he means, is that we're getting a fundamental halacha about the nature of the karban shlamim, which is it is the optional karban. It is the karban which is only brought about strengthening relationship between the bialim and the ribon shalom. There's no ulterior motive at all, and therefore that is the karban which needs the door to be open. That's why the Das Eichel have to be open, only for the Shlamim. It's great, it's amazing, Rabbeinu Eliakim, we've killed two birds with one stone, we understand the nature of the din, and we understand why it would only be reserved to the Shlamim. Problem is, we do need to understand the din, according to all the Rishonim, who rejected the view of Tos Yishanim, the Ritva, Rashi, and the Rambam, i.e., the Bali Tosos, in a number of places. If it's din in all Karbanos, what is the nature of that din? What is the nature of that din? I guess somebody could have said the same Vard as the Rabbeinu Eliakim, but a little bit less compelling. I mean, even Rabbeinu Eliakim only said it for the Daron. Like, I don't know, you bring a Chadas or a Nashim, I'm not sure you have to be like Panam al Panam with Rabbeinu Shalom. In fact, the whole point is like there's a Richuk. So, okay, what is there to say? So the Sfas Emes, we saw in Menachos, has a great Chakira, which can once again help shed light on the issue. So Asemes asks, what happens if you shach the karban inside the heichal itself with the doors closed? Do we say, yeah, well, the doors are closed, so the karban is possible? Or do we say that what you needed was a link to the heichal and you're in the heichal? So that's kosher. That's what he wants to know. What are the two tzadim? maybe I need a link to the Heichal, so it should be kosher, because I'm there already. The way he sets it up is maybe it's a Gzeiras HaKasev. Torah tells you, Shachta Pesach Al Moed, that's a din, it's a Gzeiras HaKasev, don't bother me, if the doors are closed, regardless of the location, the carbon is pasul. Maybe we should say that. Now, the Menachas Chinuch thinks that this is absolutely no question at all. He thinks for sure, the carbon that was shachted in the Heichal will be kasher. So if you're in the Heichal, who cares? I don't remember if the Menachas Chinuch himself made this point, but the Mikdash David definitely did. It's very difficult to say that this is a Gzeiras HaKasev Ba'alma, because Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Zvachim, Samach Gimel, he applies a svara in this context. The Gemara asks, can you shecht in the Heichal, b'chal? Can you shecht in the Heichal? Rabbi Yochanan says, lo yehei tafel chomer min ha'ikar. I'm told to shecht in the Pesach Ol Moed. I'm told to shecht in the Pesach Ol Moed. Kol shekin, I can shecht in the Ol Moed itself. Once we say that we're making svaros over here from the din of Pesach Ol Moed, it's very difficult to say that there is just some gzeiras HaKasev. If there's a gzeiras HaKasev, the doors must be open. Why? I'm in the Heichal. Who cares? No. Gzeiras HaKasev, the doors have to be open. Well, you could have said the same thing to Rabbi Yochanan. You could have said, you want to prove that the Heichal is kasher because of Pesach Ol Moed. No, maybe it's a gzeiras HaKasev. You have to shecht it dafka in the Pesach Ol Moed. So it's a very difficult thing to say that it's just a gzeiras HaKasev. The problem is, if it's not a gzeiras HaKasev, what on earth is the reason for this din? And if we have a reason, then we can wonder, maybe the Sfas Emes's Hakira is not so lopsided as the Minchas Chinuch would make it out to be. Right? The Minchas Chinuch makes a lot of sense in the world of Rabbeinu Eliyakim. You need a link to the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore you only have that if you're either the doors are open, but Kol Shekin, if you're in the Heichal itself. Lo Yetaf Al Chamer Min HaIkar, that is what Rabbeinu Eliyakim, his whole idea would also say with the din of Psichas Lasa Heichal. However, the Mikdash David, in a classically brilliant piece, where he's just tying Bikiyas pieces together, and then just has an awesome insight. So the Mikdash David, he says, well, there's a big question we need to ask over here. The Gemara in Yuma, one day we are Gemara in Yuma, tells us that if you shechted the Shlamim Bachutz, you know, back up for 1 second, in the world of Shutei Chutz, so don't do that. Don't shach karban osas of the mikdash. But if you do that in a moment when the karban was not ra'ui bifnim, it couldn't have brought inside. If it could not have been brought inside, then you're potter if you bring it outside. So the Gemara in Yuma says, the Rav is extremely bothered. He has a tarachin gadol on the Gemara, but not for now. But the Gemara says, if you shecht the shlamim outside the mikdash, when the doors are closed, you're pater from Shutei Chutz. Why? It's Eino Roi Lefnim, because you still need to schlep the doors open. Since the doors are closed, you need to schlep them open. Therefore, when you shecht it outside, it's Eino Roi Le'ol Moed, and you are pater from Shutei Chutz. So asks the Mikdash David, if the Minchas Chinuch is correct, why is this Karban Bachutz, why is this Eino Roi Le'ol Moed? What can you do? You don't need to open the doors. Just bring it into the Heichal. He says, we know there are side doors. The Kohanim would use a side door every day to go be medashin the Mizbeach Hapanimi. Go into one of the side doors. The Mishnais and Midos talk about these. You just slip in there. That's not Mechusar Maisa. He doesn't have, I mean, yeah, right? You know, in theory, one could say, well, maybe those doors were closed too, but the Gemara just made it sound like it all depends on the big door in the middle. So Elamai says, it seems to be that the Sfas, we should say, the other side of the Sfas Emes is Chakira, and that even the Makom HaHeichal is going to be possible for Shechita if the doors are closed. Why should that be? So he has a suggestion, but he doesn't put meat on the bones, and he says that it's a Chiddush, but the suggestion is, well, maybe the Makom Avoda is only going to be viable when the Heichal is connected to the Azar. Maybe you need the Heichal and the Azar to be linked in order for Avoda to be kosher. But he's not sure why. And we can say a couple of things over here. First of all, we should make two suggestions. One, I mean, it's kind of a phantom din, but the Rambam, when he says that, right before he tells you that you can, that the shalom has to be with the doors open, so he tells you the din that you can shacht in the heichal, but it's very clear that he thinks that it's only bidyavet. He says, if you shacht in the heichal, it's kasher. The Frankel on the side, they quote the Perish Mishnayis, Vav Aleph and Zvachim, where the Rambam says, black on white, b'shas adchak, you can shacht in the heichal. It's unclear where the Rambam got that from. I mean, the Gemara did say, lo yehi tafel chamor min ha'ikr. So one way to say this is that the heichal really is not the makom havoda. The real makom havoda is the makom of the mizbeach. And maybe we'll answer the Sfas, we'll explain the Mikdash Davis, the Mikdash Davis point to argue the Mechach Sinuch by saying there are just two dinim. The Azara needs to be linked to the Heichal, for whatever reason, as of yet unexplained. But maybe the Heichal needs to be connected to the Azara, because in order to justify the Heichal as a Makam Shechita, it needs to be connected to the Azara to be Makam Avoda. Right? So that would be, you know, explaining the Mikdash David's point, but without shedding any light on the nature of the din of Psichas Las Zehechel per se. You could explain the other side of the Sfas Emes without understanding Psichas Las Zehechel if you say that maybe, just like for some mysterious reason, the Azara needs a link to the Hechel, so too, for the Hechel to become a Bidyevet Makom Avoda, it at least needs to be connected to the Azara. But the other possibility, though, and you see this, Rav Kasher quotes the Ralbag, who talks about this. Rav Dani makes a suggestion of this. Rav Hirsch has an interesting piece on this also, which I'll talk about in 1 second, is to say maybe the Makom HaMikdash, the din of Psichas Las Hechel tells you, is the whole system of the Makom HaMikdash needs everything to be interrelated. There are all sorts of different moving parts. There's the Azara, which is the quintessential Makom Avoda. There's the Hechel, which is the quintessential Makom Hashras HaShechina. But in order to have an active and viable Beis HaMikdash, they all need to be together. Yari, do you have the Lashon of the Ralbag?
I'm not in front of
you. Open. Okay, so but he had a line where he talked about this. He's like, it's not an Ohel Moed unless the doors are open, right? And that can be a two-way street. Rav Hirsch, I thought, you know, see, you go to the English, and then you can skim. And once you can skim, then you can see more than just the one point. So it's the Rav Hirsch who's like going on and on about the symbolism of the Mizbeach, which, okay, your eyes kind of gloss over a little bit. But then he has a very interesting discussion about Bamos. He's like, what is so bad about a Bama? Why did the, you know, like Sefer Melachim over and over again, it's like it's a disaster that B'nai Yisrael are bringing Karbanos on Bamos. He says, it's like it happens to be a really, really profound spiritual point. It's Chaf Zion. Technically pasuk, yeah, it's in Truma. Technically pasuk tes, but it's a separate essay on the Mizbeach. So he says, Obama, somebody brings his own carbon in his own department. There's no element of submission over there. You know, everybody can worship their own idea of Ribono Shel Olam, and there's nothing really necessarily constructive to it. Let me get the line from the modern. Oh, it's 1 o'clock. So we gotta end. But the line from the modern translation, which was really good. Exactly. So he says, his idea is that you need the Las HaSeichel, or you need the Mikdash, because you need proximity to the Makom Aaron, as the Makom HaTorah. Your Avoda has to be connected to the Torah, because you're submitting to Halacha. So he says, Obama leaves room for subjectivity and personal caprice, right? Obama lacks any visible sign that is dedicated to the one who is the only God and not some supposed deity. Who says it's self-devotion to his Torah and a faithful commitment to carry it, to commit it, etc., etc., etc.? So, it's...
Can you forward that?
I can definitely forward it. He goes on, and it's a very interesting point. So he says that's why all avodah has to be in the Makom HaMikdash, to emphasize that it's not just our own self-expression. You want your self-expression, that can totally go off the rails. It needs to be connected to the Torah. That's why he thinks that there's this din of, he says that's the behind the din of Psichas Las Zehechel. Just one last point, this, you know, it's interesting to wonder. He assumes that this is the reason for the Chiyuv of Las Zehechel, Dofen Klali. He quotes the Tosas Yantif in Tamid, who says, Tosas are obviously right. all karbanos need lasas eicha. He says, yeah, because all karbanos need this submission to the makom hashchina, the makom hatover. In theory, though, and I don't know how to what degree we're getting into tamei mitzvos over here, but in theory, I think maybe one could say that no, we'll take the reason that he's proposing over here, but maybe the shlamim is the karban which is most risky and vulnerable over here. Someone's bringing a karban ola. Karban ola is all about submission, right? Total submission to Hashem. Karban chad as karban Hashem is a sin offering. Maybe it's dafka, the karban shlamim, you know, the happy go lucky shutvis karban, where you need that super emphasis that yeah, right? I feel like I have the confidence to say that I'm shutvin with Ribono Shel Olam. Maybe dafka there, you need to remind yourself that it's the Ribono Shel Olam we're talking about, and you have to have the connection to Makom HaTorah that he's talking about. He did not himself say that, but I think that's something that could come from him. So either way, we have a number of different explanations for the din of Tzichas Lasas Heichal, which seems to be more than a Gzeiras HaKasev. Some of these apply only to the Karban Shlamim, some of these apply to all Karbanos, and maybe we have one which will apply to either one.